All right, this morning we're continuing our series that we started the very beginning of this year with, Encountering God. We've been talking about encountering the Father, then we talked about encountering the Son, and now we are in this section of encountering the Spirit. And we're using the word encountering there. You can see on the artwork, the slide, that it's to encounter for sure, but that it's also encountering, meaning it is an ongoing thing throughout our life. We want to encounter God and keep encountering God. We don't want it to be mere head knowledge. We want it to be personal and experiential. We want us all to have encounters with the true and living God. So as we've been talking about encountering the Spirit over the last few weeks, just a couple quick points. You know, we've said we have to make sure that we understand that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about a person, if you will, with a capital P. He is part of the Godhead. He is divine in nature. The Holy Spirit is a he and not an it. Again, we've looked at his person, we've looked at his power, we looked at the priority that he needs to have in our life, and then looked back throughout the history of the church and how the Holy Spirit was a priority in their seeking, in their preaching, in their doing great kingdom exploits. The Holy Spirit was right in the middle of it. Then last week, Pastor Rob did an excellent job kind of just starting to unpack the different purposes of the Holy Spirit and the things that he wants to do. John chapter 16 has been an anchor passage for us, but specifically, John 16:7 is something that we've really tried to highlight for us as we go forward. Jesus said these words, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus is clearly talking about the coming and the sending of the person of the Holy Spirit. He's referred to as the Helper, the one who comes alongside, our advocate, in the Greek, the Paraclete. He is the one who is to be an advantage for us. In everything that he does, in all of his relating to us, Jesus said, listen, it's to your advantage. And I couldn't help but think that we would be on good, solid theological ground if we referred to the Holy Spirit as the advantage. He is the one who brings the advantages of the kingdom of God into our life. And so we just have been calling the Holy Spirit the advantage around here lately. Now, today, I'm going to give you a very condensed teaching on hearing the Spirit's voice. Now, I've got to tell you that I'm not here to argue or to even spend a whole bunch of time talking about, well, does God speak or does God not speak? I mean, to be honest and not to be condescending, but like that question is so unbelievably basic that for you to not think that God is still speaking today, like, I don't even know what to say to you. It's so clear that the Holy Spirit is speaking today from the Scriptures that I'm not even going to waste any time arguing with you. Like, you either get it or you don't. I don't know what to say. That wasn't condescending. That's just like, you know, listen, like, get it, pay attention. He is speaking, okay? Maybe that was condescending. God have mercy on me. All right, let's pick it up now. John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15, and I'm moving fast today. Any one of these points could be a whole series, but they're going to just be bullet points to whet your appetite, I pray, and to create a hunger in you to start hearing the Spirit's voice. John 16, 13, Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear it right now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Now look at, "he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. All right, just some quick things on here. First of all, Jesus said, without question, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Helper, the Advocate, he is going to come and guide us into truth by speaking to us. That should make sense to us. Since he is the Spirit of truth, where would we expect him to guide us and lead us? Into truth. And he leads us into truth by speaking truth. Okay? Now, when you look at what Jesus said in John 8:32, a famous verse, what did he say? He said, you would know the truth, and the truth would what? The truth would make you free. Truth by itself doesn't make you free. It's the truth you know that makes you free. So when the Spirit guides and leads you and speaks to you about the truth, you need to know that freedom is the result of that. Freedom from every devilish, opposing obstacle, everything that would try to keep you back, hold you back, keep you from progressing in Christ and experiencing the abundant life. The Holy Spirit is coming to guide us, to lead us into truth so that we can be a free people, past, present, and future. He frees us from the garbage of our past. He gives us freedom in what we're going through right now, and he guarantees our freedom for all of eternity. The advocate comes. The advantage comes. The helper comes to do those very things, to guide us into truth. The next thing Jesus said that he would do is that he would tell us things to come. How awesome is that? He will tell us things to come, which means that he will prepare us for certain future events. I love the advantage that we get as followers of Jesus who hear the Spirit speak, because he will tell us things to come. He'll tell us what's on his agenda. He'll tell us what's on his radar so that we can be spiritually prepared for that which he is preparing for us. No wonder he's the advantage. He lets us know what's going to happen before it does. Come on, somebody, that's worth getting happy about. We are not left to our own miserable short-sightedness. The Holy Spirit will download into us things that God has prepared for us so that we can walk in them. I love that. The next thing Jesus said is that he's going to declare everything that is ours in Christ. He is going to declare, he's going to speak to us, he's going to reveal to us every bit of inheritance that we get as sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to reveal all the resources that are available to us. Again, thank God we don't need to go through life, living life, wondering if there's any advantage, any power, any extra, any assistance from God. I get to go through life knowing that I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 1:3, and he is for me, not against me. He's going to never leave me or forsake me. He's got good plans to give us a future and a hope. Glory to God. He's declaring what's ours in Christ. Now, beloved, no wonder he's our advantage. He speaks to us about our past, about our present, and about our future. Now, moving on. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, those of you who are serious Bible students know those are the chapters where Jesus is speaking to the seven churches there in Asia, what we call Asia. He's given a direct word to each of the seven churches, and he's got different things to say to each of the seven churches. But it's interesting to me that as Jesus is speaking to each of the churches, the last words, the last sentence that he has in every single letter is the same. The last thing that Jesus says to every single one of the seven churches is this: he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, I love this, because you could look at that and go, wait a minute, Jesus, you were just talking to the churches. Jesus, why didn't you say, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what I just got done saying? He didn't say that, Ricky. He didn't say that. He said, if you have an ear to hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying, because the Spirit talks. What does the Spirit talk? Well, he told us in John 16, he doesn't speak on his own authority. He speaks what he hears. And so listen to me, friends. This is so unbelievably important. The Spirit speaks what he hears Jesus say. He takes the general words of Jesus and makes it specific and personal. He emphasizes it in a way that makes it timely, applicable, impactful. He guides us into transformative truth that he heard Jesus speak. And so again, he takes the general, and I'm not discounting the power of the general truth of God or words of Jesus, but he takes the general and makes it specific. Now, here's where we struggle. We all want to hear God. I know we do. But we want to hear specific things from God. But the problem with so many of us is we haven't familiarized ourselves enough with the general word of God so that when he speaks the specific, we miss it. So let me just say to you, you have to get not just acquainted, you've got to get intimate with the general word of God so that when the Holy Spirit takes the general and makes it personal and specific, you got it right there. Jesus said, if you've got an ear to hear, do you have a hearing ear? It means sometimes we've got ears, we've got, you know, natural ears, but we don't hear the Spirit. Jesus is saying, if you've got an ear to hear, listen what the Spirit is saying to you. Massively important. Now, the other thing, in these seven churches, Jesus speaks everything, now listen to me, from encouragement and comfort to warning and rebuke. This is Jesus. Jesus is speaking everything from encouragement and comfort, the stuff we love Jesus to say to us, right? I love the encouraging, comforting things. But he doesn't just stay there. That you cannot pigeonhole Jesus into fluffy, soft niceness only. Jesus speaks encouragement and comfort, but he speaks warning and rebuke as well. And listen, friends, we have to encounter the fullness and the totality of Jesus' character and nature as he speaks through the Spirit to us. Sometimes it's going to be, you are my beloved, you are highly favored and blessed. And Zephaniah 3:17, when I think about you, I twirl around in dancing joy. And then there's other times where he's going to say, hey, knock it off. What are you doing with your life? Come on. I'm telling you, friends, listen to me. This is so important. I know what I'm talking about. The church culture today is so puny and watered down and apathetic by and large. The church has created a culture where if the word that I'm hearing isn't just some kind of fluff, it can't be Jesus. And I'm reading the word of God, and like where Jesus says in the book of Revelation, you know, hey, I'm gonna kill Jezebel's children with death. What would Jesus do? I'm just trying to make the point, friends. The Holy Spirit is going to take the word of Jesus in a general sense, and he's going to make it applicable and personal and timely and impactful to us. And so we've got to know the general so that when the specific comes, we'll say, this is that. Are you with me? Okay, so this is what we're talking about, hearing the Spirit's voice and hearing all of it, okay? Now, there's no question that the Spirit is speaking. The question is, do we have an ear to hear him? Jesus said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He's speaking for sure, but do we have an ear to hear? Now, I'm gonna give you some quick things here, and just, friends, this is as practical as possible. This is just nuts and bolts stuff. For those of you who don't have a lot of experience hearing the voice of God, the voice of the Spirit, this will be really good building block stuff for you. For those of you who are familiar with this but maybe have drifted away from the disciplines of what it takes to really hone in and hear the Spirit's voice, this will be a good fresh reminder for you. But let me just give you some practical stuff this morning about hearing the Spirit's voice. So first of all, it would be good to talk about the various sources of hearing. Okay, the sources of hearing. What are the sources of the things that I hear in my head, in my heart, if you will? What are the different sources that are available and possible? Well, for sure, without question, there is the source of self, okay? What I mean by that is it is possible for yourself, based on your own needs or desires or imaginations, it is possible that you are speaking to yourself out of need and desire and stuff, and that you then kind of think, well, I think that was God. I just want to make you aware of this, that a source for some of your hearing could actually be yourself, okay? Next, another source is Satan, without question, okay? Satan talked to Jesus when he was tried for those 40 days, spoke to him multiple times. There's no question that demons speak, not just Satan himself, but his cohorts. And to help you understand what those things might be or sound like, it's always going to be a perversion. It's going to be a twisting of something. It might have just enough truth in it to kind of blind and beguile and deceive us, but it's always going to be a perversion of truth, okay? It's going to be filled with accusation because he is, as the Word of God tells us in Revelation 12:10, he is the accuser of the brethren. There's also going to be, with that accusation, a degree of condemnation. And this is how we know the difference between the voice of Satan and the voice of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to speak things and to tell us to straighten out our lives, but it's going to be conviction that leads to hope and change, whereas the enemy's voice, when he condemns, is always going to lead to desperation and hopelessness. Okay? So whatever it is you're hearing, you have to hear and listen and discern and judge and say, hey, Is this a perverted twisting of the word? Is this founded in accusation that leads to condemnation? If it is, then the enemy's probably speaking to you. Now, the third source of your hearing, thank God, is actually the Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you're going to hear me say this several other times this morning, I believe. What the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, beloved, listen to me. It is always, always, always going to line up with the Word of God. Always. It's always going to line up with the Word. It's always going to line up with the will. And God's will is His Word, and His Word is His will. They're really inseparable. But it's always going to line up with the Word and the will of God. It's also going to line up with the ways of God, the character of God, the nature of God, how God does things. And so in the midst of your starting to want to hear God clearly, you've got to be mature enough to say, hey, is this just my own self creating this based on needs, desires, or imaginations? Or, gosh, is this the enemy because this is perverted and accusing and condemning? Or is this the Holy Spirit speaking to me? because it's in line with the word and the will and the ways of God. See, we have to discern that, all right? We have to be mature enough and discerning enough to know the difference between those sources of what we're hearing, okay? That's number one. Number two, I want to talk to you about the sounds of hearing, the sounds of hearing. In other words, what are the different sounds or the different ways that the Spirit might speak to you, okay? Now, I love how the Lord does this. I get something prepared, and then someone walks up to me the very morning. I'm getting ready to say something, and then here's the story. But the sounds of hearing. Does the Holy Spirit today speak audibly? Meaning, you hear his voice like you hear my voice right now, okay? I want to tell you up front, I've never, ever heard the audible voice of God. It's never concerned me because I've heard the internal voice of God enough that it has given me plenty of direction and help and hope. But does the Holy Spirit speak audibly? Sure he does. I'm never going to say that God won't do that, that the Spirit won't do that. Surely the Holy Spirit can speak audibly. A friend of mine came up just before church when she heard what I was speaking on, and she said, Steve, the Holy Spirit spoke audibly to me as a Church of Christ girl my entire life. I heard the Holy Spirit audibly say to me, you need to go to Grace Chapel. And she showed up and she said, you know, we kind of like don't do that. We don't talk about that stuff. She said, I heard the audible voice of God tell me, I've got to come to church here. So does he speak audibly? Sure he does. Does he do it all the time and only? No, but he does do that. This is interesting. Does God always sound like the King James Bible? Like it's kind of not God, but if we throw a thee and a thou in, then it's God. I would say to you this, and again, this is very real and very practical. I would say if what you have poured into your life is the King James Bible, God is going to speak to you in King James Bible because this is his word. This is his speech. God would speak to you in New King James. I don't know if he'll speak to you in NIV or not, but that's it. Oh, come on, the nearly inspired version, come on. Just messing with you. God might speak to you in King James English, but my guess is God is going to take the language of the word that you have poured into yourself generally, and he will then speak to you specifically, okay? The sound of the Spirit's voice, is it going to be earth-shaking? Literal as well as just overwhelmingly loud. Maybe. I could build a case going from Old Testament to New Testament where it literally shook the earth, his voice, or was earth-shaking just in its magnitude. But I don't know that he's always going to speak to you in an earth-shaking way. I'm reminded of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, when Elijah the prophet is having his encounter with the Lord, and the wind goes by, the rushing mighty wind goes by, the earth quakes, there's a fire that goes on. The Lord's voice isn't in any of that. But where is the Lord's voice? The still small voice, okay? So might it be earth shaking and just, whoa, sure. But it could very well be a whisper, which leads me to my next point. The voice of the Spirit can, I know this sounds contradictory, but there's just that silent sense, just a silent sense, a gentle impression. A light whisper. It's subtle enough, friends. Now listen to me. It's subtle enough, silent enough, that it's possible that we miss his voice altogether. Like honestly, my guess is, and I know this is true in my own life, so I don't mind saying this. My guess is the Spirit of God has spoken to all of us many, many times in a subtle, silent impression, a gentle nudge, and we missed it because it wasn't just earth shaking. This is where intimacy with the Lord is so important. See, I want to be close enough to him, right? Where if he just whispers, I'm close enough to him, I can hear him whisper, right? I hope you heard that. It was really good, actually. It's possible to miss it altogether, or it's also possible to even misinterpret it as your own idea. One of my favorite verses that just bespeaks the normalcy, the humanity, the non-majestic awesomeness of operating in the kingdom of God. This verse, Acts 15:28. Now, before I put it up there, I want to tell you what's going on. Like, they are discussing in the early formation of the church, they're discussing what kind of Jewish laws and regulations they're going to put on all of these brand new Gentile believers. So they're having the council in Jerusalem, and they're trying to figure out, what are we going to tell these Gentiles? Like, we can't believe the kingdom of God is open to them. Like, what are we going to tell them? So this is serious, doctrinal, foundational stuff in the church. Really important board meeting. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us that we lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. They're kind of looking at each other and go, man, I can't really say that God shouted from the rooftop that these are the doctrines that the Gentiles have to follow, but it just kind of seemed good to us and to the Holy Ghost that this is all right. Do you see what I'm saying? It doesn't say, like other times in the book of Acts, that there was some massive, loud, earthquaking, shaking thing. It's just this subtle piece, just this, it seems good. What do y'all think? I think God could be in that. I think he's in that. What I'm trying to do, friends, is demystify this whole issue of hearing the Spirit's voice. I don't want you to leave here thinking that it's only the Spirit if it's loud King James English. I want you to know he can be a subtle whisper, a gentle nudge. And if we're not careful, we can miss it altogether or misunderstand it and just think, yeah, that's just kind of us. That's just my own idea. I've learned more and more in my life of following Jesus that whenever I have kind of a kingdom idea with a person, just go with it. Just go with it. Because, like, what's the harm that you actually be nice? That we be generous? That we be extravagant? That we show grace? That we be kind? That we start a new friendship? And we don't have to say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit said to me that, you know, why do we use that like a calling card? We use it to trump people, right? Well, the Spirit said, or the Holy Spirit said, and God said, and Jesus said, and like, I'm okay with that every once in a while or whatever, but like, listen, sometimes it's just, you know what? Seemed good to the Holy Spirit and me, so I just did it. It was a subtle nudge, a gentle prodding. And he speaks like that, a still small voice, okay? The other way that he could speak is through, get ready, prophecy, visions, and dreams. When the Holy Spirit gets poured out in Acts chapter 2, and we've looked at it here in this passage previously, and Peter brings clarity about what's happening in this supernatural moment, what does he say? He quotes from Joel chapter 2. He takes the general and makes it specific. The Spirit is saying this is that. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all your flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I'm done seeing vision. I dream dreams. I guess in God's economy, I've become an old man. My point is simply this. The Scripture says that as a result of the Holy Spirit being poured out on your life, he can express himself with the voice of prophecy, which isn't just foretelling the future. I wish we would get off of that. Prophecy is speaking divinely inspired words. So the Holy Spirit can speak to you through another person. And they're speaking a divinely inspired, a Spirit-inspired word to you. And so, as crazy as it might sound, the Holy Spirit might sound just like one of your friends. He might clothe himself in the voice of a trusted loved one. Don't discredit that. Words of prophecy, dreams, and visions. I love that this all is part of the kingdom of God. This is all how the Spirit can speak in all these different ways. I would remind you that that Joseph, the father of Jesus, had no less than 5 recorded dreams where the Spirit spoke to him and gave him instruction about what to do. Pay attention to your dreams. The Spirit might just be speaking. Sometimes it's pizza, sometimes it's the Lord. Just again, real quick, I love this verse in the book of Job 33, 14 through 16. For God may speak in one way or another, and yet man doesn't perceive it. I wonder how much we don't perceive. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. I think, friends, in the days that we live with our busy schedules, we don't have time for God, that sometimes God has to speak to us when we're sleeping. Because he's saying, you're finally quiet enough and still enough. Let me tell you something. I've been whispering this to you in the still small voice. You haven't been perceiving it. So now I'm going to speak to you in a dream, in a vision of the night. I'm going to give you understanding and seal this knowledge that I want you to have. I love this. God's not boring, is he? Now, friends, when we value the Spirit's voice, let me say it this way. When we get serious about wanting to hear the Spirit's voice, he'll get serious with us. When we get serious about having the general word of God poured into our lives, he's gonna take that and make it specific. But if we just continue to put God somewhere down on the list in religious, traditional, Southern Sunday culture, I'm not expecting we're gonna hear much from him at all. Not because he's not willing, but because we are. Okay, what about now settings? This gets real practical. Settings for hearing. This is about creating time and a place and space for the Spirit to speak. So let me just tell you this. Here, start doing this. Set an appointment with God. Set an appointment with God. God loves spiritually prepared atmospheres. You can see it in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. What did God say? Hey, I'm going to meet you in the city of Jerusalem here not many days from now. Go and wait for me. That is God making an appointment. Exodus 19, 11, God said, hey, I'm going to meet you in 3 days from now. Get everybody ready. God loves spiritually prepared atmospheres. Set an appointment with God. Set an appointment and keep the appointment lest you have disappointment. So set an appointment. Pray. Mark 1:35 says Jesus got up early in the morning to pray. All throughout the New Testament, Jesus rising up early. You know, I don't want to make a lot of that. That's the best time for me is early in the morning. But like, I would just look at your life and say, what's the best time? It's the best time for me to seek God. Is it, you know, early in the morning for me. Good, I got to get four kids ready for school, and I'm going grocery shopping all day, and I got practice and all that. Like, the best time for me is 9 o'clock at night when the kids are fast asleep. Okay, great. Great. But find that best time and pray. Well, what do I pray? Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray through it slowly. Meditatively, consider each word. Consider the power, the meaning behind it. Pray Psalm 23. Commit it to memory. Say them throughout the day multiple times. How about praying what's on your heart to a trusted friend who is powerful and compassionate and who has chosen to stoop down and listen to you closely, the psalmist said. How about pray in your heart? Sure, set an appointment, pray. Read the word. Again, we've said this multiple times. Knowing the general helps you hear the specific. Again, Peter's thing in Acts chapter 2 that we just looked at. He was acquainted with and intimate with the general, and when the Spirit started moving and speaking, he was able to address what was happening specifically. Read the word, saturate yourself with the word of God. You'll be able to start hearing God much better. Worship. We're talking about settings for hearings. We're talking about atmospheres where God moves. Worship. I love Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord, ministering to him, loving him, worshiping him, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, look at, then the Holy Spirit spoke. And he said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. The Holy Spirit says, hey, here's what's going to happen in the future. Here's what I need you to do right now. I got stuff for Barnabas and Saul to do. Get them ready. Send them out. But the Holy Spirit speaks as they're creating a setting and an atmosphere for him. Set an appointment, pray, read the word, and worship. Okay? Again, when we value the Spirit's voice enough, by doing these things, he speaks and we'll be able to hear. I'm going to wrap this up very quickly now with this last point. I'm going to talk to you about safety when hearing. How can I be safe when it comes to hearing? Now, the first thing I'm going to tell you is you're going to make a mistake here and there. You're going to miss it. Welcome to humanity. You're going to miss it. But the fact that I miss it isn't going to keep me from trying to hear more clearly. Okay, so give yourself some grace. God has grace for you. If the Spirit says something to you for your own self or whatever, there's not much risk. But if the Spirit says something to you to share with somebody else, then I found if you'll just deliver that word with humility, it takes all the risk away. You know, I don't know if I've got this right or not, friend, but I feel like the Lord's got a word for you, and I feel like he said for me to just share this with you. He does that. The Lord does that. And then you tell the person what the word is, and they look at you and they go, well, yeah, that's just not really resonating with me very much. You go, man, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get it right. And I loved you enough to risk my embarrassment. Humility is wonderful. Arrogant, pride, I've got a word from God, and thus saith the Lord, King James English, thus saith the Lord, and, you know. Then you get it wrong, and then the person looks at you like a kook, okay? Now, safety when hearing. Here's what we're always going to do. Again, ask yourself this question. Does it line up with the word, the will, and the ways of God? First of all, you're safe when you do that. Next, does it resonate in me? Is what I'm hearing, is it meaningful? Does it resonate? Does my spirit, that's a great theological term, isn't it? Does it resonate? Does it, hey, this means something to me. Does it line up with what God is doing in my life? I love asking these questions when I think I hear the Spirit speaking to me. Is it the Word of God? Well, yeah, it's the Word. Does it resonate in me? Yeah, I mean, it did. Well, did it line up with what God's doing in your life? Well, yeah, it kind of does, and there's doors opening in that area, in that place, and it seems like that's something that God's doing. One of my favorite things, and the last thing on this list, is do those closest to me hear the same thing? I've said so many times, I would be nowhere without my friends. One of the greatest reliefs and safety checks in our life as we go about advancing the kingdom and trying to hear the Spirit's voice, as we move forward, one of the greatest things is just saying to a group of friends who know you, I mean know you, hey, I feel like the Lord might be saying this to me. I feel like he's doing this in my life. It resonates in me. What do y'all think? You know me. Do you think I'm manufacturing this because of my own needs? Do you think there's a chance that I'm doing this out of my own imaginations or desires? Like, what do you think? I can't tell you how wonderful it is to have friends that know you, that can say to you, hey, I think that's the Lord. Yes! Or, you know what? Let me join you in praying about that for a while. Okay. But friends, these are the things that I know it's not exhaustive, but I'm telling you it's practical, and it's at least a good starting place for you. If we'll commit to these things, I can assure you our hearing is going to get better. Considering the sources of our hearing, the sounds of our hearing, the setting for our hearings, if we'll give ourselves to that, and then the safety of hearing, bouncing these questions off ourselves and others. Friends, there's too much to lose by us not hearing the Spirit anymore, and there's everything to gain by hearing and obeying what he's saying. We've always lived in a time where we need people to hear the voice of the Spirit, but don't we need some people that are hearing from God right now? There's so much chaos and scuttlebutt going on. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the church was known as a group, a family of people where the Word of God abided in us and was rich in us? Let's make some adjustments in our lives, shall we? And let's give ourselves place to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and pray, shall we? Now, service ran a bit late today. I didn't, but service did. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us by your Spirit. We thank you that the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes it timely, impactful, and personal for us. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, we pray that you would help us in our journey to hear you clearer for our own transformation and for the transformation of those that we are called to encounter. As much as depends upon us, we say, Lord, we choose to have an ear that hears. And as much as we could press upon your grace, we would ask, Lord, give us an ear that hears. And together, Lord, may we hear you better. In the wonderful name of Jesus, who sent the advantage so that we can hear. In Jesus' name, amen, family. Amen. God bless you guys.